Good to be in God's house. Amen. Can anybody in this church tonight attest with me, agree with me tonight that he'll do it again?
Amen.
Amen. Can anybody agree with me tonight that he's done it again?
Amen.
In your life, you remember him doing it again for you? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that we don't serve a God who's a one and out kind of God? I'll help you this time, but this is it.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad we don't serve a God like that. Man, I tell you, ain't it good to be in God's house? Amen. I appreciate the Lord and appreciate all of you. And I'd like to ask you tonight, if you would, to take your Bibles. And I'm really reluctant to even say where to take your Bibles and turn to, because it dawned on me sitting over there a while ago. John. Back to John. I do realize there's other books in the Bible, but and I didn't plan it this way. I didn't come into this revival thinking we're just going to study John this week. But I couldn't get away from what God wanted us to do tonight, and I'm going to mind the Lord. John chapter number 1. I would stand here and say I promise you tomorrow night we'll go somewhere else, but I can't promise you that. I'll promise you that I'll give you what God gave me. Amen? Amen. But I tell you what, while you're turning to John chapter number 1, I want to say I appreciate you folks at Pleasant Grove, loving on our family, being so kind and compassionate and generous to us. And I appreciate you from the depths of our heart. And here we are Wednesday night, man. I tell you, time flies, you're having fun. Amen. But I'm excited about what God's got in store for us tonight. I don't want to say, well, it's Wednesday night, we're about done. Thank God we're about done. No, I want to have a good time the rest of this week. Amen. I like to go out on top, wouldn't you? Amen. I like to see somebody get born again. Amen. I like to see somebody get birthed into the family of God. Amen. Might be tonight. Maybe tonight. You hear me? Drusilla, are you saved?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Luke, you saved? Dinah, you saved? Ethan, you born again? Dalton, you saved? John, you saved? I can only pick on people that I know to give me the right answer. But I wonder if you're sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, I hope you don't ask me.
Right.
And I want to say something tonight. I wrote something down. Can I just remind the Lord right here? There's a fellow in the prayer room the other night made mention of something that struck my heart. And I want to give it to you word for word right here. I wrote it down on my little pad right here. We was in the prayer room the other night. I think it was Monday night. And I wrote it down because I wanted to remember it. And I think I'll use it one of these days. And, well, not tonight might be one of them days. There's a man in the prayer room the other night said this about a funeral. He said, remember the such and such family. I don't remember what family it was. They buried somebody in the family, and he said these words, I don't know where he stood with the Lord. I'd heard people say that all my life, preacher, but back there the other night it stuck in my mind. I couldn't get away from it. How do you stand with the Lord? When we roll your hide somewhere up in a church or a funeral home chapel, will a preacher or your family or your friends know where you stand with the Lord? That's something to think about. That's something staggering to think about. You say, well, I go to church, preacher. That's good. We're glad you go to church, but are you saved? I feel the Holy Ghost of God just may be redirecting something tonight. I don't know. I just want to be real sensitive. Amen. Hannah, are you saved? That's good. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
Without a doubt. Amen. To the uttermost. Plumb to the middle parts, all the way in to the uttermost, I'm saved. I hope you are. Man, I pray you are. John chapter number 1. As we look to the Word of God tonight, if you're able physically, we'd like to ask you to stand and honor that book you hold in your hand and the author of it, John chapter number 1. I just want to read about 5 verses of Scripture right here, and we'll move on. Chapter number 1, verse 35. Chapter number 1, verse 35, the Bible says, and again, the next day after John stood, and 2 of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus, as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the 2 disciples heard him speak. Then watch what happened right here after that they saw Jesus. They followed Jesus. Now, I want to go back right here for just a minute before I get too wound up. You read up yonder in verse 35 that there was two disciples standing out with John, and they was disciples of John. But when they saw Jesus, they said, "You've been fine all up until now, John, but we're tired of following man. We're going to follow the man." And I tell you, when Jesus crosses your path, you won't have a hard time letting go of the world, and you'll have a desire to follow Jesus. And I ask us tonight, have you stopped following man, you, flesh, and have you started following Jesus? Now, I want to say this right here. I'm going to let you sit down just a minute. There's a great big difference, I'm convinced of, and we're not going to debate it, ain't going to preach it tonight, but there's a great big difference in being a child of God and being saved and following Jesus. I believe you can be saved and not follow the Lord. Amen? We won't touch that. We'll leave that for another time. But I will say this, if you're saved, you'll have a desire to follow the Lord. In everything he does, you'll not have a desire to follow the flesh. You'll not have the desire to follow the man of the world. Anyway, let me get out of here. The Bible said in verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? The Bible said in verse number 39, and he saith unto them, Come and see."
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that night, for it was about the 10th hour. Verse 40, and I'm done. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
Yes.
Tonight we're going to preach just a simple little thought. Going to change gears a little bit because I figured on Wednesday night it'd be just us church folk, maybe a few visitors. But we're going to preach on a fella in the Bible that don't get a whole lot of recognition and a whole lot of attention. We're going to preach on Andrew tonight. We're going to see if we can't learn some things about Andrew's life and see if we can't help our own personal life, help our family, and help the church of God.
Amen.
You with me? Let's pray. Father, I love you. And I do thank you, God, for the privilege we can call upon your name. I do thank you, God, one more time for the opportunity, Lord, to stand and, God, to try our best to preach a little bit. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, and touch us, God, from the top of our head, Lord, to the soles of our feet. And, God, may everything we say, God, be a benefit to these people, God, that stands in front of me right now. God, may you get glory. May you get honor of it out at all. And I pray that tonight, Lord, you'd just do that in this church. God, needs to be done. And I pray, Father God, you'd touch lives, save the lost, and draw that one that's backslidden and grown cold unto thee. And help every one of us tonight to leave this church with a brand new vision and a brand new mission as we follow after you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I said tonight we're going to talk about Andrew for just a few minutes, before I get into Andrew, I started following the Lord and trying to seek his direction for this service tonight, and I begin to read there in John chapter number 1 when God began to lay Andrew on my heart. And I read down through this chapter, and it's interesting unto me tonight. This is some homework you can take home with you tonight and read it and check it out for yourself. But I found it very interesting in 51 verses of John chapter number 1, 51 verses, we find 7 different titles or different names that Jesus was given. Can I give them to you right quick? Good, thank you. Verse number 1 and verse number 14, he's called the Word. Verse number 7, he's called the Light. Verse number 18 and verse 49, he's called the Son of God. Verse number 29, he's called the Lamb of God. Verse 41, he's called the Messiah. Verse 49, he's called the King of Israel. And verse 51, he's called the Son of Man. So I thank God for that I know all 7 of those attributes of our Lord and our Savior, amen. But I want to get caught up, and I just want to throw that out there and let you have that, and that ain't got nothing to do with Andrew, but that's just something good about your Bible, amen. But anyhow, I begin to think about old Andrew and begin to one more time ponder about Andrew and Andrew's one of these men in the Bible. He didn't write no books of the Bible. He didn't write any letters in the Bible. He never preached a sermon in the Bible. And if you read your Bible and do any studying and looking around in Andrew, there's only 12 verses in that King James Version in the New Testament that you'll even find Andrew mentioned. 12 times in the Bible, he's mentioned. You say, well, preacher, if he didn't make the limelight and he didn't make the big role, then why are we going to be addressed in him? Well, in these 12 verses of Scripture, there's some things about Andrew that I believe that would help us tonight as a church, amen, that we can learn from him that we might just benefit from if we'll just take heed to Andrew and his life. First of all, as we read together in the passage of Scripture. First of all, Andrew, help us right here, Lord. Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. He was one of John's disciples. You read the first, where do we start reading? Verse 35, you read the first part of John chapter number 1, and we all know that John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. John blazed a trail, told everybody there's one coming whose shoes I ain't even worthy to latch it up. There's one coming that's going to take away the sins of the world. And when John saw him the first time, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So all down through the days that Andrew began to follow John the Baptist, he kept a hearing about a man named Jesus. And when Jesus finally showed up on the scene, you listening to me? He said, "Thank you, John, for telling me about this man Jesus. I believe now I'll follow him." Can I say something unto all of us tonight? You don't have to be licensed and you don't have to be an ordained preacher to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. All through the Bible right there, you'll find many, many different people that followed after Jesus after somebody else told them about Jesus. In fact, everybody sitting in this church tonight, no doubt you just didn't wake up one morning, didn't know nothing about the Lord, didn't know nothing about salvation, and woke up and you said, "You know what, I just think I'll get saved today." No, somebody told every one of us about this man Jesus, and we owe it to them and say, "Thank you for letting me know that Jesus was the one that was going to take away my sins." So Andrew knew about Jesus because of John the Baptist. Can I say something to us that will blow our mind and it'll stagger us? Here, Luke, get this change out of my pocket. I can't stand it. Can we say something tonight? When we get to heaven, I wonder how many people will come up to us individually and say, "Thank you. Thank you for living your life before me, because it was because of your living that I got saved." Y'all all right? "Thank you for living your life as a Christian, and it's because of you I'm where I am today." But sadly, wonder how many people will be burning in hell that could come by and say, "Thank you, because of the way you've lived, I'm where I'm at." Woo! Everybody all right? I'm talking about John the Baptist was the one that said, "Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming." And Andrew said, "I can't wait till he gets here." And when he got there, he followed after him. All right, everybody stay with me. I'm talking about Andrew. Andrew knew about Jesus because of John the Baptist. Now, who in this world is going to know about Jesus because of us? Amen. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. It's thinking time. It's seed planting time. I know it is right now. Y'all stay with me. You got your Bible still there? All right, look right there at the next verse of Scripture. I want to show you something. I want to show you something about Andrew that we everyone ought to learn and we everyone ought to gain from. And I want to show you three different classes of people that once Andrew started following, God help us right here. Once Andrew started following Jesus, there was three classes of people that he says, "I've got to let introduce to Jesus." Watch verse 42, 41. We found out in verse number 40 that Andrew was the one, Simon Peter's brother, that came following after Jesus. Now, you with me? Look at verse number 41. The Bible says he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Y'all with me? Look at verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus beheld him, and he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Hallelujah. Thou shalt be Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So the moment Andrew had his introduction with Jesus, next verse 41, he said, the first thing I got to do is go tell my family. That's the first class of people right there that we find Andrew going to get once he found Jesus. Now, I want to say something tonight. Amen. Y'all listen to me. Amen. Once you got born again, can I ask somebody, just be honest with me. Once we got born again, once we got, it's all right to say born again, I like saying that. Once we got saved, amen. Once we got born again, wasn't it an exciting thing to go tell somebody that you wasn't going to hell? Amen. I never will forget when all three of my young'uns got saved. It was a common thing. They had to call back to Tennessee and tell Papa and Nana that they'd got born again. Got saved. Well, I'm sorry, Dalton was saved in Tennessee. But all my young'uns had to call Papa and Nana, and both Papas and Nanas, and say, I got saved. Amen. First thing we want to do is tell somebody, hey, listen, I got to meet Jesus, and we'd love for you to meet him too. But let me just be honest tonight. Will every one of us, I guess, I'm going to step out on a limb and say this, but we've everyone got used to being saved.
Yeah. You're right, preacher. Go ahead.
Amen. So, you can't say that about me, preacher. Well, how's it going in your life as a soul winner?
Yeah.
How many people do you rub elbows with every day that we don't mention the name of the Lord, we don't live it in front of the people that we go to school with, we go to work with, we run into Walmart with, hopefully, Lord help us right here. We ought to get the excitement about being saved back in our hearts one more time, and once we get excited about it, it may bleed off on somebody else, and the family will get excited about it, and you'll not know who may get birthed into the family of God because you got excited about it. But the first thing that happened once Andrew met the Lord, he said, I got to go tell my family about him. I got to go tell my family about this man Jesus. And he goes to get his old brother right there. You read right there, Simon. He said, I got to go tell my brother. We found Jesus. Can I say something to us tonight? Y'all listening to me right here at Pleasant Grove and anywhere else you may go to church? I said this every night this week. I'm going to say it one more time because this is where I'm at right here in this little thought. Satan wants to destroy homes, and Satan wants to destroy families. Amen? And if we can do anything that we can to salvage our homes and our families, we'd better be doing it. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. We've had some attacks on our homes down at Maple Springs. We've had things that's happened in lives of people that we're real close to that I sit back and I say, man, I can't believe that happened to that family. I can't believe that happened to his young'uns or her young'uns. Lord, I'd have never saw that coming out of that family. Boy, I hate that for them. But do you know something tonight? They ain't nigh one of us tonight sitting right here tonight that's safe from the attack of the enemy. And when you sit back and you look at somebody else's home and their family and thinking, my goodness, boy, I hate that for them. I hate that for them. By morning time, your family could be the next one that the rest of us is sitting back looking. I never thought that happened to their family. One bad decision will wear out a family. One bad decision can destroy a home. So somebody better get on the walls and start to sound the alarm, the trumpet, to let the world know, hey, we're not going to sit idly by while the devil tears our family apart. Somebody better go get Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go. I got to get out of here right here. I'm going to move on because this will help the family right here too, okay? So the first thing we see Andrew did, he got a burden over his family. All right? Now, we flip on through the same little book of the Bible in John, come to chapter number 6, and let's see where we find Andrew now. John chapter number 6, you start reading verse number 1 right here, you'll find that there's a great multitude following Jesus, and they saw all the miracles that he'd done, verse number 2, and all that healed all them people that was diseased, and Jesus went into a mountain and he sat there with his disciples, and the Passover feast was there in verse number 4, we see that. But verse number 5, I want to read right here. When Jesus then, y'all with me, John 6, 5. But when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto him, Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus doesn't know what he was about to do right here, but he just wanted to test old Philip out. Verse 7, Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And I like to think, while he's saying that, he's sitting there in front of Jesus and saying, listen, all we got is 2 pennyworth of money right here, and it ain't enough to take care of them. And then, boom, look at verse number 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, fellas, there's a little lad right here. There's a little fella right here, and he's got a little bit of fish, and he had five barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But then he finishes up and says, but what are they among so many? In my mind, preacher, I'm thinking back to what Andrew heard of John the Baptist telling about Jesus. John the Baptist preached, there's one coming. He was a man. He's going to take away all the sins. And they're sitting there. Y'all stay with me right here. This help us. We'll let it. Sitting there in that crowd of people. Andrew sitting there with that whole crowd of people. And Philip and all them boys sitting there. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, listen, somebody go get this crowd something to eat. They're bound to be getting hungry right now. Yeah. Philip said, listen, Jesus, we ain't got just a little bit of money right here. What we got ain't enough to feed this crowd. While all that's going on back there, I believe, now this is crazy. This ain't Bible. This is my mind right here. I believe Andrew's back there working the crowd. How y'all doing? Hey, young'uns, how y'all doing? And he finds that little boy back there. And he finds this little boy. Says, son, what you got right there? And the boy says, well, I just got these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes right here. That's all I got. And something dawned on me. Y'all may have already seen this, but it just never occurred to me just until recently. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 plus 2, 7. Take it for what it's worth. All I got's these 5 loaves of bread right here and these 2 pieces of fish. That's all I got. Well, you want to go up there and meet Jesus? Let's take it up there and show the Lord what you got. Now, I think the Lord might just be able to use what you've got. You're just a lad. You're going to grow up, and I want this to be a day that you'll remember for the rest of your life. Have you ever met Jesus personally? Have you ever met the Lord personally? Come on, let's go up here. And all that time, Philip's up there and said, Lord, we ain't got enough money to feed this crowd. But then here comes old Andrew. Lord, I got this little boy right here. Got this lad right here. And he brought him to Jesus. First class of people that we see Andrew getting to Jesus was family. The second class of people that we see Andrew bringing to Jesus was the youth. Bible said, Lord, I got a lad right here. Got this little boy right here. He's got this fish. He's got this bread. This is crazy. But the Bible says, y'all with me? Get back over there. Stay right here with me. I'm about to have myself a big old time right here. The Bible says, but he said in the last part of verse number 9, but what are they among so many? And I can't help but think, hey, listen, Thomas was the doubter. Right? So can you imagine here's this little boy. Andrew's got his arm around him and he looks at Jesus. He said, Lord, this boy's got 5 loaves of bread right here and 2 fishes. Then the verse ends up by saying, but what is this among so many? I think you might have winked. Go ahead, Jesus, do it. What's this little amount of food right here going to be amongst this crowd of people? Then he winks and says, go ahead. Because you read the next verse of Scripture out there in verse number 10, Jesus says, make all the men sit down. I think it stirred the heart of Jesus right there. I think Jesus got a little bit excited right here. We've got to show this crowd something. Thank you, Andrew, for bringing that young man up here and letting him be the one to feed this crowd, letting that little boy be the one that has what we need to take care of this crowd of people. I want to stop right here and say this and help us, every last one of us. Can I say something? When the world has turned their back on our young people, I still say there's still some young people that can make a difference in this world we're living in today. And we as God's people had better not push them to the curb and say, young as we can't use you. You ain't old enough. You can't do this. You can't do that. Young as don't you know this. I don't know how it is up here, but I'll tell you how it's going on at Maple Springs. If it wasn't for our young people, somebody better help me right here. If it wasn't for our young people, a lot of times our services would be cut and dry. We'd be in and out of there. It's our young people that's on the front rows. It's our young people testifying. It's our young people praising the Lord. You say, preacher, those things ought not be so. Tell me why not. Somebody, instead of, God help right here, instead of us in the generation we're living today, we're supposed to be teaching the young'uns how to worship, how to dress, how to live. But I say this, if you ain't real careful, it'll be our young people that's leading the march to the throne room of God and saying to the rest of us, come on, there's more to this than what we've got. Somebody better get the young people to Jesus. Somebody had better take the young people and say, come on, I'm going to go show you Jesus. But you know where we're at today? We want to put our hand on the young people. You can't do much. You can't do this. You can't. You know what? What's exciting to me? Did it bother anybody a while ago when old Camden over here, was it Camden, ain't that his name? Cam, I think I've heard them call. Did it bother any of y'all when he took that crying spell right there? And I don't know what happened. He may have got the wheels beat off of him back yard. I don't know. But when he went to crying a while ago, did anybody say, oh, Lord, I wish that young one wasn't in here. If you did, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. When he runs up here and wants Papa to pick him up, that bother any of y'all? How else are they going to learn if we keep them hemmed up in a cage somewhere? Amen? Hey, amen. I'd rather see that boy up here running to his papa, looking out over this crowd. Amen. Been in the house of God, seen him up here in the choir a while ago. Amen? Not just him, but all these other young'uns. Amen. Somebody better get our young people, get them to Jesus. Amen. Because there's a world out there that's doing all they can to get their hands on the youth of today. And while we sit idly by thinking, well, they're just mean old young'uns, yada, yada, yada. We don't want them young'uns in here. My foot, friend, we need them in here more than we ever needed them today. I'm going to tell you this right quick. I'm going to tell you, when I first started preaching, I'm going to run me one little rabbit right here. When I first started preaching, and first church I took, a little old church over yonder in Jonesboro, Tennessee. I'm going to tell this, I'm going to hurry up. I was over there, a little old church over there, they wasn't about 12, 14 people when I first went there. Man, got in there, I was young and full of zeal, and now I'm just old and full of zeal, but I was young. Man, they was a young family, started coming in loving on me and Miss Kim, and we started winning folks to the Lord, not we, but the church. I mean, just loving on people. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'll just say, I may lose some of you right here, but I just want you to listen to me. Got down at that church, and church began to grow, Brother Brady, and youngins began to come in, and folks began to move into church, not move into church, but coming into church, and worshiping with us, and some youngins had never even been to church. Kind of people we was getting surrounded by. I got to be real careful right here. Please don't take this personally. If you take it personally, maybe you need to do some soul searching. But there was a fella in that church. I ain't going to call his name. Y'all wouldn't know him anyhow. But Miss Kim, you help me right here. Been there since he was a little boy. Always was very quick to remind us, my daddy was the one that turned over the ground for the first time to build this church. Very quick, throw that in our face. He growed up all his life in that church. Never got married. I don't know what them men's called it. Don't get married. You know, y'all know what I mean. Old maids, what a woman's called, or a maid. I don't know. But he was a man, never got married. There's a title for it, and I can't remember it. But he was there in that church. He was there, grew up in that church, stayed in that church. And, can I say something right quick? I'll tell you that in a minute. But he grew up in that church, stayed in that church all of his life. Church was beginning to grow. And he come to me one time, Brother Brady, and he said, Pastor, I don't even think he called me Pastor. I know there's some things he probably wanted to call me, but he didn't. But he said, there's some chairs in there in the little kids' Sunday school class. We're going to have to start keeping a closer eye on the kids. Because they're leaning back in the chairs, and I'm really afraid the legs are going to break on them. Wasn't worried about them busting their head on the wall. Yeah. Wasn't worried about them getting a concussion and maybe dying. We just want to protect them chairs. Mom and Daddy bought them chairs and put them in that Sunday school room. Yeah. Okay, I'll see about that. I'll see if I can help. See if we can keep an eye on it. It's the truth, what I'm telling y'all. Yeah? Then a couple of weeks went on by. This is the truth, what I'm telling y'all. If I'm lying to you, I pray God to kill me in my shoes right here. You listen to me. Next thing, he come to me a couple of weeks later, he said, Preacher. And by then, I'm about to bite nails in two. I said, What is it? He said, There's some crayons in there in that Sunday school class. It's the kids' Sunday school class again. And there's some crayons in there. And he said, I found some of them broke in there this morning. Okay. Okay. And I said, well, let's just buy some more. Yeah. Truth what I'm telling you. Yeah. Let's just buy some more. Yes, well, some of them crayons has been in there for 20, 30 years. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. Well, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. Bible school rolled around. It's summertime. Boy, in Bible school comes, I don't know how it is here, but youngins come from out of the woodwork. And they ought to.
Amen.
Bible school come. We're standing out there. And this is the truth I'm telling y'all. They had this flower bed out there. A little bit longer than that communion table. And about as wide as that communion table. About twice as long. Exactly the wide. And it had one of them little old fences. You know what I'm talking about? That comes in a section about like this, but it opens up this way and makes it big, and you interchain it together, and you know, a little loopy-loopy-looking thing. But anyhow, it's all the way around that flower bed. I'm telling you what I'm telling you, the truth right here. All the way around that flower bed. Bible school. Young is out there drinking Kool-Aid and eating cookies and peanut butter and crackers. Y'all remember Bible school when you got cookies and crackers and Kool-Aid? Now we've got to have pizza and corn dog. I'm sorry, that ain't got nothing to do with nothing, but I just remember Bible school having Kool-Aid and a peanut butter and cracker. Get out of here. There's that flower bed. Y'all got the flower bed still in your mind? I'm going somewhere with this. Flower bed's out there. We're leaned up over here in the shade, and them youngins is out there. Boys was big boys. My boys is probably the ones that's leading the pack. These boys would be boys. They get out there in that yard and they get a run ago and jump the flower bed. Jumping the flower bed. Wasn't hurting nobody. Just out there being boys. Jumping the flower bed. And truth be known, we're probably up here in the shade somewhere agging them on and saying who can jump the farthest. Well, guess who showed up? We're standing over there watching boys jumping. Eating cookies and holding a cup of Kool-Aid and jumping a flower bed all at the same time. He showed up. He said, Preacher, can you make them stop doing that? He said, I'm afraid they're going to tear that fence down. And them flowers have been there for years. Truth, what I'm telling you. Them flowers has been there for years. And maybe if one of them young'uns falls, they might step in there and kill some of them flowers. Again, we don't care if they break their head or break their arm. Save the begonias at all cost. Well, I'd had it right up to here. He said, can you go over there and tell them to stop? And I looked at him and I said, no, I ain't. But if you want them to stop, you go tell them. Just walked off. Can I tell y'all something this evening? Not every young'un in this world is well-behaved and well-mannered as your little Johnny and Susie. Amen. You just really think your little young'uns is right up yonder. We've got news for you. They ain't no precious little angel perfect. But what I'm trying to say is this right here. Andrew said, look, Jesus, I got this little boy right here. He's never seen you in person. He's never saw your work. He's never seen a miracle take place. He's got 5 loaves of bread and he's got 2 fishes. Can you use this little boy? And still, this is my way of thinking, still winking at Jesus. Go ahead, Jesus. Let him be a blessing. Let him be a blessing. He's got what we need. Let him have it. Let him have it. Amen. Show this crowd your power. Andrew said, Jesus, I've got this little boy, and I want you to meet him, but most of all, I want him to meet you. Can I say something? Andrew said, I need to get my family to Jesus. Then Andrew said, we need to get the young people to Jesus. Amen. Took that little lad and said, come on, let's go meet Jesus. Can I say something to us tonight? We need to have a heart for youth. We need to have a heart for young people. Amen. Amen. Can I ask y'all to do me a favor? Just feel it and do this right here. 21 and under. If you're 21 years old and under, I want you to stand up. 21 and under, stand up. 21 and under. You ain't 21. You 21. Lord help. Or he's at least 30. Twenty-one and under. That boy back there waving at me. 21 and under. Dalton, Luke, and Hannah, Brantley, y'all sit down. Rest of you stay up. Can I tell you something, Pleasant Grove? If that's the only young people you want and you have a desire to have in your church, shame on you.
Amen. Amen.
I'll say this to us tonight, Pleasant Grove. You ought to have a desire by Christmas to have this many times 5.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, then they might break in. Buy some more chairs if they break chairs. If they tear a page out of a songbook, buy another songbook. What's the price for a young person dying and going to hell? They ain't one. It was paid at Calvary, amen. And we ought forever cost, whatever the cost is, love on them young people. And can I tell y'all something right quick? Y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. But these young people are going to remember everything about their youth age. They're going to remember what their church would let them do, what the church wouldn't let them do. They loved us. They didn't love us. Done this for us. Didn't do this for us. Amen. Amen. Andrew said, come here, lad. I want to show you Jesus. It ought to be a burning desire in every one of our hearts right here tonight. And I'm not telling you nothing I wouldn't tell Maple Springs. It ought to be a desire of ours to love these young people. Make them feel like they're part of the service. Make them feel like they're part of the church. Amen. You tighten up on me, we'll take up an offering and split it between every one of them. Amen. I'll make this church take them to McDonald's after church tonight. Love on them. Because I'll guarantee you this. I will guarantee you this. Oh, I felt it right there. There's some weirdo man or woman that's in this world that would love nothing better to get their hands on your youngins. Amen? There's some weirdo out there would love to have your daughter. There's even weirdos that would love to have your sons. Amen? Well, that wouldn't happen here in Wilkes County. My foot, it is happening. Amen. We're up here in the mountains, preacher. It don't hurt. It don't work up. It is happening. You listen to me. And if we know it's happening, it ought to be our crazy desire is to go rescue some more. Get some young'uns out of a home that's infested with crack cocaine. Get the young'uns out of them homes that a daddy comes home beating on his wife, beating on the young'uns. Love on them, man. Love on them.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to move on. I said this down at our church the other night. And I guarantee you, I could tell y'all, Mom, I could tell you. When I said what I said right here, I saw the countenance of some of our young people's face change. And mama's and daddy's heads slumped down like this right here and wouldn't look at me for a few minutes. I'm going to say it again right here tonight. If we would be honest, there's some young'uns in this church. There's some teenagers, preteens in this church right here. And some of y'all ought to help me right here. There's some young'uns that has already made some decisions in their life. There's some young'uns 20s, under, 25 and under, 30 and under. There's people sitting right here in this church made some decisions in their life. And if they'd be honest with us, they would say this. If mama and daddy would have just told me no. If mama and daddy would have just told me no, I couldn't go with them. That decision I made wouldn't have been made. If mom and daddy would have told me no, I'd have been with the right crowd of people, and that wouldn't have happened. I know what I'm talking about. Mamas and daddies, learn to say no. Young people, you listening to me, listen to me real well. Just because mamas and daddies tell you no, it does not mean they don't love you and they don't want you to have a good time. Let me just ask some of us, it's 90 and under right here, and say this. How many of us look back in our life and can remember some times in your life that you wish your mom and daddy would have told you no? I'll be the first to say, if mom and daddy had told me no, I wouldn't have pulled off some stupid things in my life that I'd have done. Amen. But when they did tell me no, when I got later on in life, I looked back and I said, man, I sure am glad mom and daddy loved me. And slammed that door of opportunity of sin to get crept in my life. Everybody all right? I'm still talking about Andrew bringing them young people to Jesus. I'm still talking about Andrew getting them youngest to Jesus. Church, listen to me. Every one of us, you better listen to me. It's our duty to get them young people to the Lord.
Amen.
If you'll start loving on the young people you got right now, I'm trying to get out of here. I'm trying to move on right here. But Pleasant Grove, you listening to me? If you'll start loving on the young people that you've got right now, they'll get excited about being at church, and they'll say, hey, to my friends at school, they'll say, hey, come to my church Sunday. I've got an awesome church. They love me. They love us. They think we're important. Come to my church. Getting real tight right there, but I'm going to just move on right here. Well, Andrew said, you know what? I need to get this lad to Jesus. I need to bring him to Jesus. Well, the next thing I see in John chapter 6 right there, I see the last part of John chapter number 6, verse 66. The Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of the disciples, they just quit walking with the Lord. Somebody says, well, preacher, I wonder if Andrew was one of them. Nope. Flip on over a page or two. Chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. I want you to look at verse number 20. John chapter number 12. Verse number 20. The Bible says, y'all with me? The Bible says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Well, after that happened, look at verse 22. Philip came and telleth who? Andrew. So Andrew, what does he do? Bible says, again, Andrew and Philip go tell Jesus. First class of people that we find Andrew taking to Jesus, family. Second class we've seen Andrew taking to Jesus, the youth. Third class of people that we see Andrew bringing to Jesus, you look back up who they were in verse number 20, they was the Gentiles. They was the Greeks. They didn't have nothing to do with the Jews. That was the crowd that Andrew said, come on, I'll take you to see Jesus. What is that class of people, preacher? That crowd that don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Who is that, preacher? That's the lost and dying world on their way to a devil's hell. Andrew said, we got to get the family there. Andrew said, get the young'uns there. Andrew said, get the Gentiles there. We don't care who they are. Bring them to Jesus. Didn't care their skin color, didn't care their nationality. Hey, listen, they come and want to see Jesus, take them to Jesus.
Amen.
And I'll say this tonight, church, we need to be an Andrew.
Amen.
Pleasant Grove, we need to be Andrews. Getting the family to Jesus, getting the young people to Jesus, and then getting those that the rest of the world don't want to have nothing to do with, get them to Jesus. There's an epidemic going on in this world, Dad. I'm going to move on right here. I'm losing some of you. I'm going to move on right here. There's an epidemic going on in this country, Dad, and you better listen to me, and I pray to God y'all ain't guilty of it up here, and I don't think you are. There's that crowd of people that'll turn their nose up at that crowd that spent most of their life in a liquor bottle. There's that crowd of so-called Christians and churches that'll turn their nose up at those people that live down there in the trailer park. There's that crowd of people that'll turn their nose up at that crowd of young'uns that mama's trying to raise on their own, and she's got four young'uns, and all four of them has been birthed in the family by different daddies. We don't want that kind. We got that crowd over here that says, well, they've been married before, and we don't even want nothing to do with them. They're living in sin. They're gommed up. They'll just let them stay out there and die and go to hell. There's that crowd that says, well, because everybody all right? He's been arrested before, and he's got a track record of drunk driving and this, that, and the other. We don't want them in the church. That'd be a bad example to everybody else. Amen. You know what blesses my heart? You know what blesses my heart? Down at the church, when we get up and sing that song, God has been so good to me. I got help right here. No, that ain't it. I got so much to thank Him for. When I look around and see the good things that He's done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. But His blessings He freely gives. I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. That chorus goes on to say, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to thank Him for. Goes on to say, for you see, He's been so good to me. Listen to this right here. When I think of what He's done, and where He's brought me from, I look right back yonder at Maple Springs, and there's an old boy, your friend of a year's gone by. He'll wave that big old arm up in the air, and he'll say, I remember where I was, and the Lord found me. About four rows behind him, I think about Wayne Russell, been incarcerated back yonder in his life, now teaching one of our Sunday school classes, working with our young people. He's got one of the greatest testimonies that you'll ever hear. Say, preacher, you really let them folks that's been locked up in jail come and be in your church. You better believe it. Because had it not been for God's marvelous grace, you could have been the same way they were. I say, blessed be the Lamb of God. Love on them that the world has turned on. Love on them that nobody else has anything to do with. Yeah, oh, we'll turn them up. Well, they ain't got enough money. They ain't our kind. They ain't a Democrat or they ain't a Republican. They didn't go to Wilkes Central. They didn't go to West Wilkes. They city people. They got a soul. They've got a soul. You hear me? And if the Lord don't get a hold of them, they're going to die and go to devil's hell while we sit and pick. I'll take him. I'll take that kind. I'll take that kind. I'll take that kind. Andrew said, I don't care what kind they are. If they're my family, if they're young people, if they're Gentiles, get them to Jesus.
Amen.
So are we going to be an Andrew and get under a burden for our family? Can I get some Andrews in this church tonight? to get under the burden, under a burden for some young people. Can I get some Andrews tonight that'll rise up and say, "Preacher, I want to get under a burden for somebody that's lost and going to die and go to hell. They ain't my kind, but they still got a soul."
Amen.
Say, "Preacher, is that all about Andrew?" No, it ain't. Turn over here to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. It's the last place we see anything about old Andrew. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. When you get to Acts chapter number 1, I want you to look over here at verse number 13. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 13. Reading together we see, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, and John." Uh-oh, look who else is there. Andrew. "Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, son, and James, excuse me, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James." They're there, crammed up in a little upper room. You know what happens in Acts chapter number 1. I ain't even going to go there. I'll get excited. Verse 14. The Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren." Four things I see about Andrew tonight. He brought his family to Jesus. He brought the young person to Jesus, the lad. He brought the Greeks, the Gentiles, to Jesus. Then in verse number 13 and 14 of Acts chapter number 1, I see that Andrew was one of those that was present when Jesus left out of here, found up in the upper room when the power of God fell on the day of Pentecost. He was there. So Andrew, great, great story of Andrew. Though he didn't write a book, didn't write no letters, didn't preach, he just lived and pointed folks to Jesus. Now you listen, it's going to get real, y'all, you help me right here. Verse 14, there's very important stuff in verse 14 that we can also learn about this Andrew. Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." So what's that got to do with anything, preacher? Well, there was a crowd of people mentioned in verse number 13 that we read right there. Then 14 says they all continued in one accord. So Andrew, not only was he a lover of the family and young people and a lover of the less fortunate and those that didn't know the Lord like he did, but he also was a lover of the brethren. The Bible said Andrew was right there in the middle of verse 13, and they was all in unity. Now, can we all say that tonight here at Pleasant Grove? Are we all Andrews? Are we together in all that we do? I wonder tonight, is there anybody over here on this side of the church that's cut your eyes over to that side of the church and you've watched what she had on and you watch what she does and can't get along with them? They don't do it the way I like to do it, so I ain't going to do it. Somebody right here in the middle probably thinking somebody on these both sides right here, well, if she hadn't been here, if he hadn't been here, we'd have probably had a real good service. Anybody over here thinking about the same thing, crush the crowd over here? What I'm trying to say is this right here. If we ain't together in unity, I'm minding God right here. If we can't unite our hearts together, you listen to me, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, Maple Springs Baptist Church, whoever Baptist Church or whoever, wherever, if you as a body of believers cannot unite together as that Andrew, you better forget about being that Andrew that reached the family. You better forget about being the Andrew that reached the young people. If you can't unite and yoke up together and work together, you can forget about reaching the lost that's dying and going to hell. Because I'll tell you one thing, friend. If they'll come up in our churches and they'll see it, they'll pick up on it. They don't get along. They always are bickering, always are complaining. Every time I go through the parking lot, she's talking about that and he's talking about this. And walk up there on the front porch and they're all complaining about this going on, that going on. Lost people pick up on that and they'll say, listen, if that's what's going on at that local church, I'm just as well standing to house. So before we can be an Andrew that reaches our family, before we can be an Andrew that reaches the lad and the Andrew that reaches the lost, we better be an Andrew that can unite together. You better learn to love one another. I don't believe we've got that problem right here, but the Bible tells us we're supposed to. You better love one another, church. I'm just minding the Lord right here. I ain't talking to nobody. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't love your brother and your sister, how in the name of God are you going to love your Heavenly Father? If you say you love the Lord, you've got to love one another. So if you can't be an Andrew that'll unite together, oh my goodness. Man, we better buckle down because we're going to have a fight against us. I'm done, but I'm going to mind the Lord if I can. Lord, put three words on my heart, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down. If you don't, you don't have to. That's fine, too. Tell you why we lose out on that being in unification like there was in Acts 1 and 14. God gave me three words, preacher. Not, look at three words. Ain't that something? I said three words. He gave me three words not too long ago that I've been stuck in my mind, some problems that we see in the Bible. I can give you scripture and verse for it that I see is happening.